and I'm here. Live Shotgun the Orcs. What is it? Thursday? Tonight we got Juggernaut tuning in, talking shit with me and Tom. Shout out to everyone locking in. Where the fuck is Tom? Let's get the boss in the building. Rob the underboss, obviously. Shout out to everyone locking in so far. Stay tuned, Juggernaut. If you've got any questions, chuck them in the comments. Actually, chuck them in the question thing in the bottom, because then we can go through them meticulously or whatever. And there we go. Alright, let's get Tom in. Bow. By the way, let me know if the music's too loud, in the words of Skipper D. I won't turn it down. I might turn it down. I ain't gonna turn it down unless I can't hear what everyone's saying over there. Shouts to Genesis Elijah. Where the fuck is Tom, man? Alright.
Not too bad. What are you saying?
I've got a question for you quickly. Is what? The music too loud?
A little bit.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it was I was enjoying it too much. I was like, could be a bit too loud. So we'll keep it at a lower level.
And welcome people to live. Looks like Juggernaut's in the house, so Rob.
Have I got to do something? Let me add Juggs to this one. Cool. It's loading up.
Everyone's safe. Yeah, man. Yes.
Yo.
You good, Juggs?
Yes, what are you saying, man?
Safe. I think I might have to turn the music down because I don't.
Yeah, oh, man, turn that down. Want to hear?
I just want to vibe out. It's one of them evenings, man. It's too warm. I listen to music and chill.
Yeah. So yeah. Welcome to Thursday Night Live with Shotgun the Orcs. Back with Tom and Rob the underboss, as he now likes to be known by.
Yeah, I'm not the fucking intern anymore, man. I can't deal with the intern vibes.
So yeah, welcome people. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight we've got one of my favourite rappers in the house, live from Knots. It's Juggernaut. How are you doing, man? Keeping well?
Yeah, I'm okay, man. I'm good. Appreciate you saying that. Yeah, man. How are you guys?
Yeah, man. Yeah, same old same. You know. No complaints really. All good. But
working. Same old, man.
It's okay to complain, but if there's no complaints, it's also good.
Yeah, man. Yo, Juggs, can you try without the headphones, man? Just a little bit blurry, like a little
right,
bit.
One.
Yeah, all good, man. I'll just tell you from me off in case, like.
Don't get the audio. It'll be fuming.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's much better, man.
Yeah, it's these shitty headphones, man. I'm trying to find. I'm not trying to pay Apple like £45 for like wired headphones, and then these ones you get off eBay are like they're mad light, and then they're all Bluetooth. It's weird. It's the old Bluetooth now, but they got wires. I don't know. Confused by everything nowadays, man. But who knows?
Yeah. The wires is cool.
I did one of these a couple of weeks ago, and I wore headphones, and like listening back to it, I sounded mad, distorted, and unclear. Mm. Fuck it.
Yeah. What's the deal? Why is everyone wearing AirPods? I don't get this thing. I was on a train the other day. I was going to London, and I was on the train like far from my headphones. I was mad conscious because I was tucking my shit underneath my top like this, and I was like this on the train, thinking like I'm getting on a bit, so I'm not thinking. Are they thinking who's this old guy on the train with wires in his head?
Yeah, what's that? Why is there? What are you attached? What are you attached to?
Does he have a USB in his belly button?
Like you are a human. Imagine being a human charger. Like they should. That shit needs to happen. Like if you're walking around, man, you should be able to charge that shit up.
That's gonna happen. It's standardly gonna happen. No, it's gonna happen.
That's the name of it tonight. We're just talking about shitty technology. So feel free to leave. No, I'm only joking. But no, man. I mean, I introduced you as one of my favorite rappers, and I think just introducing you as just a rapper is probably selling you short because Myers, the chef, and you produce like tons and tons of your own music as well, which we'll get into later. Mm-hmm. But, what you've been up to, man? I mean, last time we caught up properly, it was lockdown, and a lot's been going on since. Obviously, you're back on the live circuit doing shows again. How's that been for you, man?
It's good. Like it's still been weird. Like I feel like there's a shift in life, and no one really wants to talk about it, and everything feels weird still. And I'm not someone that can pretend, you know what I mean, everything's okay, because it's kind of not. Like we're in such a weird space, but there's been like, it's been good to do shows again. And like I wasn't trying to do it where it wasn't right, or it was like just there was like weird. It was kind of, they were trying to make it work and it wasn't really working, you know what I mean? And it was like seated arrangements or the online stuff. And it's been great that people have been able to do it, but I just kind of waited till it was the right-ish time. But the last show I did, I finally got COVID, man, which is fucking bullshit. It's just like, I've dodged it. I've been a real coffin dodger for like two years and 4 months. And then I went, did the show. It was hot boxed out. And I was like, yep, I could feel it creeping in. It was just like, I was fresh meat, man. It was like a mosquito. You know, when the mosquitoes get that English blood. But, yeah, it's been good. Like I've done a few really good shows, man. And yeah, it's been nice to be back out. But we're here, we're surviving.
Yeah. Aside from like headlining some of your own bits, you've done stuff with like Jazz T, and you also supported Crime Apple recently and Children of Zeus.
Yeah, man.
Let's go down, man. But I'm fans of both of those artists, respectfully. So
exactly, and you know, if you're into kind of what I do, then you're definitely going to be into those guys, you know, probably even more so. And like, and the key with those guys you mentioned, Jazz T, Crime Apple, Children of Zeus, they're all really great people. And that's what I've realized, you know, especially over, you know, last time we talked, like we said, during the pandemic, and we're still in it, but like, I mean, during the lockdowns, it was like being there and talking to, and talking about that, and then realizing that this, you don't have to put up with bullshit. And it's like being around good people that do what you do is one of the best feelings. It's like, actually, before the music, if you can deal with someone on a person-to-person basis and they're actually good people. So it's like doing the shows with those guys is a pleasure. And like, you know, all of them have asked me to do it. Do you know what I mean? So like, you know, Crime, you know, asked for me to come and do the show, which was amazing. And then Children of Zeus, they came to Knots, and it's like, it's meant to be when they come through here, man. And like Jazz, I did a show in London, and I asked him to DJ because it was only right, man. And we just put out the 45 Marble and Granite that he produced. So it was wicked, man, you know, and they're all at the top of their game right now. So, you know, it's nice to be involved with people at that level and then have a good time and, you know, do it how it's supposed to be done, man.
Yeah. It's a humility thing as well, isn't it? Like they're on that level. They love the music, but there's no bullshit with them. Like, you get a lot of that on social media. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
At the age we live in now, and there's a lot of kind of, you know, people have two personalities, is real life personality, even their social media personality, but you get the impression they're very kind of genuine people.
They are, and that's why we get on, man. I get tired of, I mean, everyone's got to have an ego to get up in the morning and even make your breakfast, you know what I mean? You have to believe in yourself somewhat, but like the level of ego and then the fake bravado and shit, it's just tiring. You don't know how you're dealing with people or who they are, and everyone's the very best. And it's just like, you know, and when you're dealing with people who are genuinely amazing artists and musicians and creatives, and then actually, you know, they've got the talent and they're actually there, and then they're good people on top, it's like there's no better feelings, you know what I mean? So it's like having to deal with the, you know, hip-hop's difficult, man, because, you know, it's, you know, you have to know that, you know, every artist, especially being an artist, not everyone's stable. Like, I wouldn't say I'm stable mentally all the time. So it's like dealing with that and then having to deal with how someone's going to be and know that if you say no or say yes, or you don't ever know how that's going to turn out. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's really nice to know when you can deal with people and they're dealing with it on a very genuine level. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man.
100%, man. I mean, like, as an independent artist, like, navigating around the industry, but like, what would you say were like the biggest hurdles for you, and how do you overcome them?
Oh man, it's a good question, and it's and it hits at the heart of what I'm still dealing with every day, because the hurdles are there, and it's like the classic shit, like I'm from Nottingham, and then not being from London, and then not being from the States, and not being, you know, there's all that, and then there's like people taking you seriously because of that, and then there's like what I've really realized now, it's like, you know, and it's always been the case. You can go back throughout history, 100 years. It's like, it doesn't matter how good your talent is or how great you are. If you have, you're not popular already, there's a thing where it's socially acceptable to already like what people like. And that's the hurdle that I'm finding. I've always found, like, I'm in a position where a lot of people would really want to be in my position. But then on the totem pole of where things are, it's like, fucking hell, man, like it's a drop in the ocean compared to where things could be, you know. And then getting people to take you seriously, because people do look at numbers and all that bullshit, man. It's there. It's like an automatic thing. So that is a hurdle, but the way, you know, it's like that's something I'm still trying to overcome and be okay with in that way. Yeah. But like, I think just like really the hurdles I've overcome is like, you know, I don't come from money, and I don't come from a background that where I've had a start, where I've had everything I've needed to do what I do. But how I overcame that is I learned how to do most of the shit myself. Like you said, it's like I'm not just a rapper. I do most of what I do myself, and the people I do collaborate with on stuff are really amazing people. But like, that was something I overcame. It's like, if I can't afford to, because I always want to pay people, and if I can't afford to do that, I've had to learn to do it myself, you know what I mean, in that way. I'm sorry, I might trail off a bit, but
no, of course, no, mate, we're here for it, man.
We had Genesis Elijah on the other day, and he said one of the most important things you need to get right, like in this day and age, is like your internet, to get your internet skills, your social media skills. What do you think about that?
It's very true. It's, yeah, shout out to Genesis Elijah, man. And this is the thing, it's like, I remember, like, I don't know, 2009, 2010. Like, I've always been computer savvy, and I've always been internet savvy, because growing up in the age, do you know what I mean? But it's like, I remember guys were a bit older than me being like, I don't know about all that computer thing. Like, I don't even know about that computer thing. Like, what are you talking? Like, it was a thing, like, it wasn't cool to even know about computers. And it's like, so I knew from early on it would go that way. But I think the hard part is that, like, now, even when you get to a position where you're talking to people that are in position to take you to that next level, or are just above the glass ceiling, they already want to know that you can do everything yourself. So it's like, that's the thing. It's like, you can, and you do, like Genesis Elijah says, you have to have that shit locked down, man. Like, there's no way around it unless you've got a big powerhouse behind you, and you can kind of be a hermit where, or do whatever you're doing. And then,
how challenging do you find it? Like, because I know for myself, like, it's long for me personally. It's kind of long. Like, it's part of, if you're doing, like, you're trying to spin plates, isn't it? So you're doing 10 different things at once, and then you get to the end of the day, you're like, oh shit, I've got to post something. Do you know what I mean? I've got to post.
Yeah, it is long. It's difficult, because I find it like, I've had to teach myself that what I'm doing, like, I know what feels like work, and then what else I'm doing that's just a given is also work. So I'm realizing now how much I actually do that is just, with all the stuff I read over years and things people are saying, like, they talk about, is it just being a given? This is just something you got to do. But it's also work, and you realize that, you know, your energy is like, why the fuck? My energy is so low because you're constantly spinning those plates. And that's the thing. It's like, for me, I didn't necessarily find it long because I was just doing it just anyway. And then I've realized recently how much I've actually done, and I've had to be like, shit, like, where do I put my energy? Because your energy is finite. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you have to have it on point. But it's also like, at the same time, like, inside, I'm like, fuck this. Like, if this is really what you're being judged off,
yeah,
it's like, I got no chance. It's like, what do I do? Do I do the thing where I delete all my posts on Instagram and do some cool shit? Or do I do this? Or there's this next new fad, the next new phase. It's like, it's not in my blood. So I'm just trying to do it as best as possible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, curating it in a way that's true to yourself. Because I think, like, I mean, Genesis said last week as well, you know, he mentioned, like, Drake being, like, an example of, like, bringing artists on who otherwise wouldn't have had... a fan base, but not to the level they do now because of someone like him kind of recognizing it. Sure. And obviously like being from Nottingham, yeah, maybe on the back foot. I can't say that like objectively, but like look at like a slow tie or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So there is definitely like there's definitely an audience. It's just maybe a break or. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say as a fan. I can't say what the answer is, but hope you get it, man.
And the thing is, it's like I appreciate people who are fans of me more than anything, you know, because you know it's the classic saying. But I won't be doing what I'm doing without the audience. It's like you can make art for yourself, but if you have that audience, it's amazing. And the people that I got my back are just unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? Like yourself and the people that I've always just constantly been there because. You find, especially with the, like, so we're talking about the internet, you can see everything and you feel how it peters off. You feel how it falls off and you feel people come and go and you don't, you know, it kind of, your pride, you don't want to admit it, but it's like, it's true. You can see it and there's, the numbers don't lie and you know when things drop off. So it's really important to have a person-to-person fan base that are really there, you know what I mean? That you can feel. But it's, yeah, I don't know, man, whether it's the break or the cosign or the whatever, there's always, I think it really matters to people that someone comes along who they respect and says, I really fuck with this person. And then it's like, oh yeah, like there's this moment where it's like, oh shit, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like this is the guy or this is the girl, or this is, you know, and the thing is, it's like, I don't know, is I'm just trying to think, man. Without going too much into like being like, I don't know why this isn't, but it's like, yeah, there always seems to be a moment, and the moment happens overnight somehow, but it's not. And you know, you see people saying it all the time, like this has been years in the making, and people think it's happened overnight or whatever. But it's just remind me of the question again. My brain's going a few different ways.
No, man. I mean, that is it in a nutshell. But I was kind of going on to, this next question, which is around your back catalogue. Because as like an independent artist, and when, you know, it's not, you know, your music's not, and not everyone is exposed to it, right? So there's also an appetite for you to introduce people to your entire catalogue. It's not just like whatever's new, whatever's coming. You don't always necessarily have to be thinking, right, what's the next bit? Like a bit of a dichotomy there. As an artist, you're always evolving, you always want to kind of, and Rob can probably speak to this point as well.
Completely. Yeah.
Writing about what's fresh and what's meaningful to you at the time. But do you ever forget that you have like an entire back catalogue that's going to be new to someone, regardless?
I know that happens with people, but it doesn't happen with me. And I get frustrated about that because I know that maybe some of the shit I made 5 years ago is some of my best music I'll probably ever make. And it's hard to get people to see that. And especially, like I said, I've got a really great core fan base, but they've already heard it and they've been there. So it's hard for the few new people to always be like, this is what I've done before. Mm-hmm. And then it's a blessing and a curse because there's so much work, it can get bogged down and people might be lost in it. But then when there's someone new and they're really into it, then they've got a whole lifetime's worth to get back into. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully that breathes new life into it. Because for me, if it's great, it's still great and it always is great. And that's the thing. It's like there's a moment there. And if the moment was right and the magic's there, it's like that's it. And hopefully people see that, because everything is, we said it 5 years ago and we said it 2 years ago, and now it's like the flash in the pan mentality of the music and the creativity is so quick. It's mind bending. It's like it's sad. It I have a visceral reaction to how sad it is that people put their heart and soul in. Some people don't, and that's the thing. You can tell when it's fast food, it's fast food. It could be music, film, art, a dance move, whatever it is. It's flash in the pan shit. And when people have put their heart and soul into it, it's gone within a few days. And it's not about it not being good enough. There's an idea, and it's like, especially with hip hop, it's like, with what I do and what the people do that we talked about before, like the core fan base, you know, is in their 30s and or 40s or 50s, and they're always looking for the feeling that came when they first heard the stuff. So there's people that invoke that. But then it's like it's never good enough as the stuff that came before because they have that feeling. Do you know what I mean? And I do it as well. Like I put some shit on them. Like this shit is never better than the locks. This shit is never better than when I first heard Woo. Or do you know what I mean? But then you have to work. You have to work with getting there. But it's like I don't know. It's
because it's generational as well, isn't it? Like younger listeners listening
completely.
To coming across your music, you may not necessarily be exposed to the locks or Wu Tang.
Mm.
I mean, that's sacrilege to me because I'm old. So
this is the thing. And there's like the young people, the people that really know will soak it in. You know what I mean? I went back when I was young, when I got into something, I got upset. It's just the way I am now. I get completely obsessed and I want to be in that world. I want to know everything about that world. But like, I think, what do I want to say, man? It's like, What I do in another era wouldn't have been niche. It wouldn't have been a niche market. It wouldn't have been a small market. It's like it's straight hip hop, and I do other styles. But when you boil it down to the core of what I do, but in the era we're in now, it's niche. It's a small world and a small fan base, and it's hard to differentiate yourself from others when everyone's doing it, even in the small fan base. And it's like to wade through and try and find the gems, you know, without those cosigns and without even the small machines behind you, it's difficult to get that light and have that spotlight shine because there's a small stage as well. And everyone can eat, you know, but at the same time, it's a niche world we're in. And I've talked to people about it who were in it, and it's like there's a lot of big talk, but there's not much money really, and it's a small world, and it's hard to inhabit that. But in myself, I've always wanted to be able to reach out to where I saw things throughout history, you know, where the music went and how much that it crossed borders and barriers and went to a certain type of mainstream and other streams, you know. And it's like now, it's like there's a world you get put in a kind of pigeonhole, but there's a few people that I know that are really there, supposed to be up there with history. You know what I mean? That go down in history on a very high level. I say it every time, but I'm still trying to make my hits that can compare with the greats that can play in clubs and do all that shit, which I think I've done before. But it's like when you're in a world where it's just one, you know, there's a certain sound and you bug down to that, it's difficult for that to break out. And then for people who listen to mainstream music to understand what you do. So, yeah. Hopefully that answers something.
I think there's definitely like space for your music within like a mainstream market though. Do you know what I mean? I think there is definitely something there. Do you know what I mean? Even if you're not ahead, if you appreciate good music, there is something about your music that other people can listen to. Not just the rap.
Thank you, man.
UK hip hop. Do you know what I mean? Because we were saying this before. The problem with UK hip hop is that most of the fans are artists.
So completely.
That kind of like crab mm-hmm. in the barrel kind of mentality. But personally, I think that there's with your music, there's a lot of like potential to push it wider. And I think. Like we said, it takes that one person to listen to it to kind of recognize it and put it on. Like saying that, like if because you make kind of varied styles of music, like you could be nice chilled out hip hop or something like that, and you make kind of like the 80s vibe stuff.
Mm.
Right? Let's say you got picked up on the 80s vibe stuff,
mm.
and then you blew up as that guy who did the 80s vibe. Would you kind of have to and you know what I mean? Would you kind of streamline your approach to that aesthetic in order to feed the masses, or would you?
That's a good question, man. And I'm glad you can see and feel the different stuff of what I do, the different styles within mm-hmm. what I do. But I think if we're talking about that as an analogy, like if they were to say like, yo, I love you on these 80s loops, 110 BPM,
mm-hmm.
I would do maybe an album in that style that carries that, but that's that moment, and that's that moment. So I think if I was able to do that, because if it's really great and it becomes, you know, what people might consider a classic piece of music or a classic album, you can tour that forever and it doesn't mean you can't do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. It's like when you look at the greats in hip hop, a lot of them, they've done thousands of pieces of music, but they're still touring, you know, doing the one thing that people love forever. So for me, if that was my moment where it's like, when I look back, like, oh, this guy, they love that. You know, someone came along who's Mr. Fucking Big Bucks, was like, yo, I'm going to put this out. This is what we want. And I did that. It's like, I might tour that forever, but then, or I might, you know, royalties, or I don't know. Even if it was just like, this is great. That's that moment. And I'll be able to do other stuff. And I think that's because I somehow I'm not scared of doing different things, because to me, it's not one realm. Do you know what I mean?
And it's fluid. You could
versatile, but it's organic. I mean, it always sounds like you're completely comfortable in what you're doing, regardless of what style it is. It's not like,
thank you,
because a lot of people do the crossover stuff, and you can tell it isn't kind of genuine. Do you know what I mean? Mainly, but yeah, man, I was going to say as well, like, going back to the sentiment around listening to, like, a back catalogue, and you're always going to have new listeners discovering old music, regardless of what you made. So the same goes, I want to take it back to, like, the beginning. So people who may not even know about Jugs, know about your journey in hip-hop. I mean, there seems to be something in the water in Nottingham. I mean, the legacy, like, Spazy, Capo, guys. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you first got involved in the Nottingham scene, and, you know, making music with Capo and those guys? Because I think,
well, that like you said, like you've mentioned them already, two of the greatest lyricists ever. Like, doesn't matter about Nottingham or the UK or anything. Those two guys are just aliens, man. They're like, you know, they gave me so much love. You know, they're both, you know, 10 years older than me, and just, you know, they didn't take me under their wing. It was like, yo, you've got, it was a mutual collaboration, and again, on as people as well. It's like, they're both great people. Like, Scores' birthday is 2 days after mine, just shit like that. And, you know, but Nuts is, you know, you've got Joe Buddha and the P Brothers, and, you know, just so many, that the list goes on. That's like, unbelievable worldwide. Like, people know, man. So, I say it all the time, but this city is it's a small city with a village mentality, and like, there's a feeling like there can only be one, and so everyone, like, sharpens steel, and their blade is sharp here, and it's like, even just like, I don't know, you work in a shop here, it's like, this is my fucking job, like, what, you know what I mean, like, I'm gonna fucking sweep this floor way better than everyone else, and like, or, you know what I mean, it's like,
human beings, man, fucking mad.
That being said, was there like a spot in Knots that everyone used to go to cipher, or like a night? Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone used to be like, right, I'm going there and I'm gonna take everyone's head. It's just bars.
There was at points back in the day, but it's before my time. So, like, when I came out, how I started was grime. Like, I was 13, 14 doing sets, you know, in Radford and Cedar Barbers and going to Marcus Garvey Centre and jumping on any mic. All the youth clubs all used to be doing sets. And, like, I was a youth, but then those men who were, like, 25 in there, and, you know, but it was just for the music. And we were selling tapes and, you know, and I'm still selling tapes now, which is weird, man. But, you know, I start, you know, grime was our, I say it every time, but grime was our punk music. Grime was the energy of the streets. And I only ever went to one grime night when I was young, because half an hour later, it got locked off because someone got stabbed. Do you know what I mean? And then someone threatened to stab me 2 minutes after that for no reason. You know, like, that was the energy, and it was madness. But at the same time, there was an electricity with it. Do you know what I mean? It was like, that's how I started. But at home, I was still, you know, I was deep in all the different types of music. But hip hop, you know, I was born into it. You know, my dad's a drummer and a poet. My mum's an artist. And my, you know, from the day I was born into art and music, and this all I know in that way, you know. So, like, that's how I got my start. But, you know, it was I've always done it. I was making T-shirts at 14 and selling them, and, you know, fucking whatever I could do. You know, everyone talks about side hustle, but, like, I was doing shit to, as legal as possible, to fund what I do. And I've always done that. Do you know what I mean? It was like, and that went hand in hand. Like, when I was making music, I was doing it from a sense of, I wanted to make this music. But at the same time, I was still thinking about the product early on. And it's like, You know, that was important because I knew that would last as well. There was something in my head that was like, I was picking up stuff that came out 15 years ago. So why wouldn't that be the same for me? Do you know what I mean? But the legacy in the city is crazy, man. And the fucking, you know, and there's people now from the city that, like, you know, there's like Snowy is a grime MC that I love and he's done massive stuff. And like, there's so many different people, but we've got people like Sleaford Mods and, you know, there's a producer called Lone who's one of my, I'm like the biggest fan of this guy, man. And like, you know, and it's like everyone now's talking about the house music stuff, but he did, you know, Azealia Banks rapped on his beats 10 years ago or whatever. And like that, she blew up with that. And he's from Knots, man. And like, and then like, you know, some of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest metal labels is from here that was putting out like music back in the day. And we've got Rock City, which is an unbelievable venue. You know, David Bowie said it's his favorite venue. Kurt Cobain said it. People who come through, you know about the city in that way. But there wasn't any certain nights for me. There was like, there's been a lot of stuff and open mics and different things that came and went. And I put my own stuff on, but there wasn't, it's not big enough for there to be enough people to keep it going without also there being problems and weirdness and politics. It's just too small. So it's that there is that thing where it's like you try and do something good and then it gets weird or there's no funding or, you know what I mean? So it's like you can only say for the love for long enough until, you know, everyone else wants to be part of it. But it's, you know, yeah. Mm.
He's fucking running away. Look at him. He's taking a dog.
Talking too much.
I've got a little puppy and she's been an absolute fucking nightmare. So barking people, apologies.
But yeah. You was talking about your art earlier. Have you always done your art? Like you always used your own art with all your projects and stuff like that?
Yeah, mostly, man. Like even the stuff, like I learned how to use I still use the old Photoshop. It's like Photoshop 4 or something, man. I still use one. I'm trying to use the on my laptop. I got like Microsoft the Office Suite.
He's always flexing. Fuck's sake! Off, yeah? Always. Fuck off.
He's allowed to. He's allowed to with that one, man.
Yeah. Yeah, look, prick. See.
Yeah, where's your collection, Rob? Hey.
Huh? Where's my what? Sorry. I got a courtesy pack. Don't worry, but. Just upstairs. Fuck you.
But no, man. I mean, obviously, you take your craft extremely seriously, like paying extra attention to detail. You know, you talked about every aspect of the release, whether it be like the physical media side of it, like the music videos, which, you know, it's all kind of self-made, and you do your own beats as well. So, like, how important is this to you? And what we talked about earlier, kind of in terms of, like, you know, gaining the reward back from what you put into it. Is it still, regardless of that, would you still do it because you love it?
Yeah. Like, I don't... Like, I've been through so many phases. Like, you know, most people... Yo, shout out Blade, man. Photoshop 7. Yeah, I'm still using Photoshop 4, man. The shit is fucking unbelievable. I still like the grey. I like it when it looks grey. The grey interface or whatever. But yeah, I don't know any different. I've always done it, and it's like I would be making art constantly anyway. It's beautiful to have an audience. It'll be amazing to have a bigger one, but I would be doing it all the time. And I worked out something the other day because I was getting frustrated. You know, I go through it all the time. I just get frustrated, and then I'm like, I think the way I've done it, it takes, for me, like, if it was mainly, if I just rapped and I was where I'm at now and I didn't do all the other bits and that was my main thing and I put all the energy into that and that was exactly what I'm doing now, but I didn't do any of the other stuff, I think I would probably wouldn't still be doing it. Because if it was just me rapping and that was supposed to be me and that's good enough, I don't think it would scratch the itch in the same way of creation, because also it would be too disheartening to be like, this is what I want to be known for, this is the only thing I do, and this is not scratching the itch. But because I do everything else, it helps me create more and take less pressure off. Like, me just thinking I must be shit because I'm not getting to a place. You know, in every rapper thinks they're the best in their head, and it's like, you know, and if I'm not getting to a place where I'm standing with these greats, I think I'm good enough, and I only rapped. I think it would take me over the edge. It would be too much to just focus on the rapping. So for me, it's like, with all the other creative parts of it, it keeps. Yeah, it takes the stress away from me being like, I'm the fucking best and no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, it's that shit. It's like, nah, if I'm doing it all myself, that in itself, it feeds my soul for creation. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, and at the same time, people think it's impressive and I get that, but it's what I do. I don't know, it just comes out. And when I work with other people to do it, it's always something, you know, I'm going to them for a reason and they're amazing. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
No, I guess you put more of an identity as well. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, curated by yourself, it's very much like you represented. Like,
it's really difficult to allow somebody else to design a visual for your audio. Because I do my own art as well. When I do my music, I do all the artwork, and I did the artwork for the tune we did together.
Yeah, man.
And I did that, and then obviously now I started painting and stuff, and I couldn't imagine like trying to ask somebody else, unless they were fucking like super amazing, do you know what I mean? And they did something spectacular that I know I could do, but I could communicate and we had an understanding. But yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's really difficult. And on the side of using the artwork to calm down and de-stress, I need that 100%, for example, I don't think I've written anything bar wise for a good month or so. I've just been and it's you need it sometimes,
you need to take that break, man.
Yeah, otherwise you hit a brick wall. And I think, yeah, and also too much is too much sometimes, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because what are you saying? What are you saying after that point if you're not living life, and especially the couple of years we've been through? Like, again, coming back to that bravado in hip-hop, it's like, people always say, yo, they put out their best work and then say, wait till the next one, my next one's my best shit, because it's hard for them to admit it, whether it didn't go to the place they wanted it to, or... So it's always this thing of like, nah, you haven't even seen anything yet, like, but it's like, it could be their best shit they ever do. But I think... there's this thing of like, you know, there's so much fucking capitalism in hip hop as well. It's like, work hard, don't sleep, blah 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 blah, and it's like you burn out. And I fell for it, and it's like I've done so much work. You know, my hard drive got 1,000 beats, and I can't put out this much music. And if I did, no one would fucking care. It's like, do you know what I mean? So it's like you burn out and you hit a brick wall and you're saying the same shit and making the same shit. And it's like, a lot of it for people is a hustle as well. It's like, you know, especially, you know, in this day and age, it's like, if you're selling vinyl and doing things, it's like, you know, if you can get enough out, you know, you keep the lights on. So I get that too. So that's completely legit. But it's like, I still want to make stuff that's at the best of my ability. And you got to take time to do that. And, you know, and if you keep forcing it, you're just spinning your wheels, man. You're fucking Hot Wheels. Your Hot Wheels car flying around the track on the same shit. Do you know what I mean? Fucking hamster just on his back flailing. You know what I mean? It's like, this is my best work. Wait till my next 17 albums. They're fucking amazing, bro. Like, yo, my hard drive's blood. And it's just like, yeah, okay, but, you know.
We don't care.
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, and I know that people get fucking tired of you, man. And like, you know, and that's the hard part as well, talking about the internet, keeping presence. It's like people start getting sick of you and, you know, it's weird, man. It's a very interesting landscape to navigate.
Oh yeah, man. I can imagine as an artist, like your like social media presence seems very kind of focused, though. It's just all about the art. It's not just kind of like shit posting and all of that kind of stuff. So, and I guess it's kind of, you know, some people are very open about what they share, and it's just kind of like, you know, a window into their life. I see your page as being like purely professional. It's just like, this is me, this is my artistry, like here it is. Do you use social media at all? Do you ever find yourself like aimlessly scrolling and seeing what the next person's doing, or do you solely just use it for a tool for promoting your work? Because I can imagine there is an element of distraction to it, obviously.
Completely, yeah. You fucking doom scroll till you want to fucking jump off a bridge because the other person is fucking flying around the world, or like you start deluding yourself. We all do it, we're human, man. Like, and we're it's part of our everyday makeup to be online now. So it's really hard because, again, I had to tell myself this is work and what I'm doing is work. And it hit me when I was doing some catering work a couple of years ago, and someone was like, do you do all your like promotion? Do you do all your PR? And I was like, PR? Like what? And she was like, oh, I really like the stuff you've been putting up. Like, she was getting into my music. And I was like, what the fuck? And it really hit me, like, what? And then I was like, this is just what I do. And she was like, yo, because she did PR for some company. I was like, what the fuck? And then I realized, like, how, like you're saying, how professional it is and very focused. But to me, you know, it's that's what I want to get across. But it's very hard to stay focus and you end up fucking scrolling to death and just not wanting to do anything. And everyone, especially from the past couple of years, man, we've been locked into this world now, you know, and it's got less social and more less social, and it's so weird, man. It's so weird.
So like a contentious topic depending on like who you ask, because people have like different opinions of it, but what's your personal view of the term UK hip-hop? Like, do you see it as celebrating our own identity when it comes to hip hop in this country, or do you see it as being restrictive and putting like yourself as an artist in a box? Or do you not have an opinion? Is it not that deep? Do you know what I mean? Might not be.
It was very deep to me at one point where I was so like anti UK hip hop. I didn't want to hear shit because I didn't come up in that era. So it's like for me, you know, I don't know, 2006, 2007, when shit was like through the roof UK hip hop wise, there was a couple of people I listened to, but I was buying mixtapes from New York on eBay. Like I was listening to Dipset. So it was like, and where I come from, like no one here in my area was listening to stuff. So it was like what you were listening to. It's like I was listening to Max B. So for me, it's like when I started doing what I was doing and when I got a little name for myself, people were like, oh yeah, UK hip hop artist. And I was like, I don't really get that. Because the legends from this country that do UK hip hop, it's like I just see it's just hip hop. It's the art form. So I get everything needs branding, but I think even to this point, it can still pigeonhole you. And now people have an idea of what it is. There, mm-hmm. You know what I mean. So I think because I've always had this, like, you know, whether it's me being delusional, but I have this, you know, I've always had this light at the end of the tunnel dream in my head that I'll be part of some kind of hip hop legacy whenever the end of time is or history is. I was part of hip hop, and it's like I don't want it to be I was part of hip hop _ UK hip hop _ from Nottingham. I want to be I've always wanted to be part of the whole melting pot worldwide, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's long story short, it's not my favorite term, but I get it completely, and I don't disregard anyone that likes to use it because that's their choice, man. Yeah.
No, 100%. I mean, you're very much in your own lane when it comes to your craft. Like, I've always kind of considered you like the same caliber as there's certain artists from the UK who kind of like elevate it and in a similar way to what you just described. So like the likes of like Sonny Jim and like the Fly Hooligan that you actually work collaboratively with. As a fucking banger, by the way. But I mean, you guys work with internationally renowned artists. Conway, Buckwild, Vic Spencer, Bangers, amongst others. So it's kind of, but I always see in terms of like the fan base of UK, as Rob alluded to earlier, very much being a lot of artists themselves. And you say, oh, have you listened to these guys? And it's kind of like, I'm like, what? Like these guys are literally like some of the best players in the UK. But this guy, like, what the fuck? I mean, it is obviously preference, and it's whatever gets you through the day. But like, it's almost like a willful ignorance at times, and that's just my opinion. What
completely, and like, I don't know. Like, it's a, I don't know. It's where you come from and your background and all that type of stuff, and like the people you mentioned there who I've worked with that I've collaborated with. Who, you know, who have set their own lanes as well, like Hooli and Sonny. Like, we don't fit into those categories of being from this certain place or, you know, having this lane. You know, I don't know, like, fucking, I keep my trainers clean. Like, for a start. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I come from somewhere where we didn't have anything, and then we had a pair of trainers that had to last us 2 years. You keep them shit clean because that's where we're from. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just about where you're from and where you come from. And it's like, you know, I related to what was going on in the States a lot more. And the, you know, the culture, you know, it's about the culture. And, you know, it's not just about a moment in time. It's about a legacy and, like, you know, where the music comes from, you know. And you know, where the music comes from is, you know, black and brown people as well, man. And that's very important. Like, this is a cultural music, man. It comes from people who don't have anything that have been under a system, you know, and like that's also part of it. So if you know the guys you mentioned there, we don't fit a mold, and we don't fit a racial profile or background, and it's like there's that reality to it too, man. So you know, I remember I did a show. I went to Boom Bap Festival 2015 with Capo, and I was with Vandal, and like it was just
Triple V. Come on, man.
You say that I get triple, yeah, exactly. Triple V boys, man. Those are boys,
fruit man. Come on,
I remember being there and being a bit confused because I wasn't. That's not our normal crowd, so it's like I was just like, oh, I had to get used to a different type of crowd and what who was there and stuff, and that's the type of thing. So it's like it's hard for me, you know. If I don't relate to the people that are there as audiences, then they're not going to relate to me. So I had to find. We've had to find a lane and carve a niche. For and find the people that are into what you're into. Do you know what I mean? It's not one certain sound or one certain type of person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I guess like whatever resonates as well. Like there are artists who might fall into the kind of like, I guess, conventional UK hip hop, however you call it, sound, but they still make fucking music depending on
it. Exactly.
It, do you know what I mean? It's just whatever gets you through it.
But,
yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. But like, onto the food thing you touched on before. You're also a chef, yeah? And last time we spoke, we kind of talked a bit about how like healthy food can be stigmatized as people don't necessarily have like the means or knowledge of how to prepare it. Like, so if you were to like teach someone a recipe like that any kind of amateur chef could get, what was the first thing you could teach someone?
A recipe for any amateur chef.
Mm-hmm. Or anyone, not even an app. Someone.
Yo, I think everyone, this is influenced from the great Anthony Bourdain, right?
Yeah. But
anyone should be able to make an omelette. Do you know what I mean? Like, that alone, like, yo, I remember when I used to work in a spot and, like, all the old people used to come in and they used to lose their mind over omelettes. And they were in, like, the 80s, 90s, so they were around during the war, so they was used to the powdered eggs and shit. So for them, still to this day, they were like, oh, my God, like, 4 eggs. Like, they still saw it as a luxury. But I think an omelette, if you were going for, like, just the most, just like, some bell peppers, onions, garlic, and fry them up first, and then putting that in an omelette, a free egg omelette, that I think that's the one, because you can have it for dinner, you can have it for lunch, you can have it for breakfast, and it always impresses people with some cheese inside, you leave it a little gooey inside, like that's, and it's so simple, but people get scared of it, man. Do you know what I mean? But I think you know, unless you're vegan, you know, an omelette's the way. Like, and it's not hard, and that can be very, very healthy, and you get the protein you need, and you can get some vegetables in there if you put a whole pepper in and some onions, like, you know, some brown bread. But it's not hard.
Yeah, that's a good answer on the spot as well, man. I'm impressed.
What's yours, Tom? Wait, what's yours, Tom? Because you're a chef as well.
Mine, it'd probably be like something like I don't know, like a pasta dish and tomatoes. What's it called? Come on. Puttanesca, definitely puttanesca.
No, you said like something simple. You took my answer was going to be
garlic,
my dad's a chef as well, isn't it? My dad's
sick.
Like he worked like in the Savoy, and he's worked in
like proper like high stuff, didn't he? Like, yeah.
Again?
He works in proper like high-end places, doesn't he?
Yeah, Glen Eagles, the Savoy.
That's a serious graft, man. That's hardcore shit, man. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I bet he's got the scars to show.
He's got
man.
Medals as well. He represented England as well in like the Culinary Olympics and stuff.
So. Holy shit. That's crazy, man.
When I was kids, they used to be really big fuck off gold medals, and I'd be like, just like rocking them all around the house and stuff. All well, he taught me some bits and bobs and stuff, but he's always, sick. Whenever he was off, like it was always about cooking the pasta sauce up, innit? So we'd always have pasta sauce on the go. So I learned that. But you know,
you're Italian though, right? As well, so like, you have to then, like that's just the bloodline, that's the lineage, like. There's no sauce cooking and that.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how they in America they call like it gravy, don't they? Like marinara.
That's the one.
Yeah, like Paulie Walnuts, man. When they go out to Italy, man, and he's like some gravy. Give him the fucking. They give him the squid ink pasta, and this guy doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
They look at it like a piece of shit, don't they? In Naples, isn't it?
And that's when you see David Chase is sitting at the table, and he turns to him. Commander Torre, and he just looks at him like.
Oh man, such an amazing show.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Sopranos or Wire? I think I know the answer. They both know.
Yeah. The thing is, like, for me, the biggest thing for me is comfort. And it's like, for me, it's got to be Sopranos just like a pure comfort. The Wire is like, exceptional top three, but like when you're talking about like
it's a dense show,
it's dense, like, and
comfort
and
is key. I can't believe I think
comfort is key, man, and like you know it's something that
an attachment as well when you're saying comfort too, right? Because I used to get home on like a whatever night it was, maybe it was a Sunday night, and the Sopranos used to be on TV and everyone used to be in the front room watching it, like Mark,
exactly, you know what I
mean? And it's like that is comfort, isn't it? So when you go back to it, the humour, all the funny shit you watch it, but it kind of connects you back to that moment again. Never even looked at it like that. That's mad. The comfort. Complete. That's crazy. Family. Family bringing the family together. Imagine that.
You're a big movie guy as well, man. I know you like your kind of movies and like horror films and stuff. And I've seen you been to like a few screenings and stuff. So I was going to ask you, man, if you were to curate an all-night horror-thon, what would you put on the bill? What films would you put on there?
It's interesting because when I was younger, I wasn't that into horror, but as I got older, I got into the classic shit more for the director. So I got to say shout out to my friends Loft Movie House that do the screenings at the Savoy Cinema in Nottingham, man. Like, that cinema's amazing and they're the best people, man. Gavin and Lucy, they're my friends and we've done a movie night as well called Food and Film, we can hopefully bring back, which I was doing before, where I paired a 3-course meal with the movie. But at all night, like, I think I might start with, how many hours have I got? What have I got? What's the time frame?
Let's just say like 8 till... Nah, let's start at like 6 o'clock till 6 in the morning.
Fucking hell. Oh, I don't know if I can... Let me see. All night horror fun. I think I might, you know what I might start with? I might start with a Razorhead, because if people can't sit through that and they go, then they're not ready for the rest of the night. So that's the test.
Lynch, man.
A Razorhead. This is the thing. You'll either watch it or you won't, because you'll be like, what the fuck, man? Like, but for me, it's one of my favorite films ever. A Razorhead first, and then I think I'll hit him with The Thing.
Come on, man.
I saw that when I was a kid. Listen, I was a kid and I found a video of my parents, right? And I was a kid. And I seen this, I was watching, like, what's this? And I must have been like 8 or something. And it was the scene where the fucking thing comes out of his stomach and the hand. And I was like, I'm like a kid. I'm scarred for life after that. Fuck,
yo.
The
guy who did the practical effects for that is a guy called like Rob Bateen.
Yeah.
And he was only like fucking 19 or something when he did
fucking
that.
Fucking G, man. I can't. I've seen a few of the films he did, man. And practical effects are just unbelievable, man. Like
the thing is probably the benchmark for like
benchmark, man. This is the thing. It's like I could try and get fucking obscure, but I think if I'm curating a night, there needs to be crowd pleasers. So I think Eraserhead, The Thing, then I think I'll hit him with The Shining.
Big guns.
The big guns, man. And then...
I think the later it gets, the more psychological it's got to get. Just so
yeah, it's got to get into like the
second in the morning.
That's why, like, I would have started off with the thing probably just for people, you know, for the engagement.
Yeah.
And Days Ahead would probably be at like the 2 a.m. slot when people are a bit like, you know.
See, that's the thing. I'm a bastard. Like, if you can't get through Razorhead. Like that's like that, you know, that's the 2 a.m. showing. But for me, that's the 6 p.m. because that's when people are finished work and they're coming in and you're taken for a psychological torture already. That's the psychological before you've even got to the psychological thrillers. Do you know what I mean?
Setting the tone.
Don't you look up with that movie, yeah? Like, so it was David Lynch's first film,
mm-hmm.
and Mel Brooks watched it and was so impressed, he was like, do you want to make The Elephant Man? Like, if you look at his career,
unbelievable.
Commercially, it's fucking ridiculous.
Unbelievable. And like, imagine the film Mel Brooks makes, and then he's gone and watches, because I know he did a private screening for it as well.
Yeah.
So imagine he's watched that and then just come out. And like, I know he said, you're a fucking genius, man. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not for everyone, man. And like, my cousin tried to watch it the other day, and I think it defeated him because he watched Twin Peaks and he loved it. And then I was like, "Oh, watch Eraserhead." I think him and my brother. I think they might have been on a night out, and then like, "Oh, let's stick something on after," and it just took him over the edge, man. I think
it's not the most palatable of things. I mean, he's not the most palatable of things, is he? Really, but
yeah. He's one of my favorite humans that's ever lived, man. Like, you know. So.
Our latest project as well, didn't you? So I mean, that's probably, I mean, after we finish your horrorthon, finish it, man. But so far you've got Eraserhead, you've got The Thing, you've got The Shining,
and then I'll give him a light horror. I think I'll go with Gremlins. I think I'll go with Gremlins because you've got to have one for the kids in there.
Yeah,
like, that's gonna be what if that's that'll be like 1 a.m. then, so I'd say Gremlins is in there, and then maybe after that you hit him with something shit like or great shit, like maybe like Trolls 2 or something. There's like yeah,
Milbarg.
Oh my god,
Christ, that film, yeah.
And then I think you cap it off with Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a solid lineup, to be fair, man.
Mm-hmm.
Dead 2 essentially a remake of the first one, but just
I love the first one, but I think just as an extra crowd pleaser, you get the special effects in there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go on, sneak some Sam Raimi in there, man.
Good
stuff. But yeah, man, I think we've got some questions as well from some of our followers.
You actually got some questions, man. I thought I was done. I thought I was shadow banned. I thought I was done. I thought I was cancelled. Everything. I thought I was done. I was in the fucking river, mate.
Nah, man. We got some quite interesting ones, actually. So we got Dello the Nomad. Sorry if I got your name wrong. But
yeah, Dello the Nomad. Shout out Dello, man.
Dello asks, Dilla or Doom? And I assume this means from a producer standpoint, because I wouldn't necessarily compare Dilla with Doom on a rapping. You might do, but personally,
that's a difficult question. I'm gonna get like, because like as a rapper, like Doom is, you know, probably number one for me. Like, maybe, yeah, Doom's like one of my biggest influences. But I think from a production standpoint, Doom's unbelievable. But Dilla's, you know, the king, man. Dilla's the king, and no snare drum in life will ever sound like a Dilla snare drum. You know what I mean? Ever. That shit's like a big razor to the ear, man. Like, when you're out and you hear that shit, like those, especially those like beats he did for Tribe, like 96, 97, when the shit was smacking, like. And then he fucking did his last album on his deathbed. Like, no other... He's an alien, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, Donuts was included on that contentious Rolling Stone top 200 hip-hop albums. Did you see that?
No, it's called The Rolling Stone. I let it roll right by him. I didn't even check. I don't look at any list, and I'm not even saying it to be cool. Like, I'm not competitive like that. I am competitive as in I want to be the best at what I do, but I don't like pitting people against each other. Yeah. It's not in me. So for me, it's like a list. It's just a collection of names. I don't know.
And to Verb T a couple of weeks ago, we kind of all had this the same opinion. It's like, yeah, it should be a collection of albums as opposed to ranking them. Like, maybe do like a top 10, but when there's as many as 200,
And it's always like, who's choosing them? What's the deal? And it's just like,
if white people basically,
yeah, it always gets like, and you know it is because who's working at the top of these companies that are making these decisions, and it's always been the same. So that's why I let it roll by. It was a went by.
So Dello also asks, and it's probably a little bit more difficult. Where are your ghosts?
Oh, bro, Dello, that's outrageous. There you go, man. There you go. The Wally champ, the Wally king. Oh man, that's disrespectful and outrageous. I feel shocked and dismayed at that, man. And when people talk about top five, and then there's me categorizing my list again. I just said I don't like lists, and then I'm doing top five because I'm human. Again, I can do that. But I think they come as a pair, man.
That's it.
Like, and they both influence me so much between them. You know, so I think Ray and Ghost is Ray and Ghost. You can't.
Yeah, man.
They're two men, and then they're also one in the same as artists when they come together. But they both influence me just as much. So I can't choose between them, man.
Favorite Wu-Tang solo project?
Oh, Cuban Links, all day.
Next, right, yeah. Next question. So Batman Scoop 85 asks, who were some of your influences growing up?
Ray, Ghost, Doom, Nas, Pon, Biggie, The Lox, Lauryn Hill, who else? Snoop.
Yeah.
Snoop made me want to grow my hair, man. It was like a couple of my, like Snoop, I've had my hair since I was 13. So if I cut it off, you know, that's the end of my rap career, because that's when I started rapping.
I haven't forgiven Snoop, man. He's cancelled his, or he's rescheduled his European tour. So
yeah, crazy, man. But yeah, influences. And then, someone just said Capo and Scott. Yeah, Capo and Scott's big influences, man, from my city. And you know, there's so many, man. But I think some of the ones I named there, which are some of the most famous, but they're there for a reason, because they have that much of an influence on you. Do you know what I mean?
So another question is, and you probably already answered this, is who is your favorite rapper of all time? If you say, you mentioned Doom. Would you say he is your favorite rapper of all time, or do you consider him the best rapper? Necessarily the same.
It's not necessarily the same, because people, you know, it's some people, it's like chalk and cheese listening to Doom, they can't do it. But Doom made me feel okay about myself, you know, being, you know, I never fit a mold in what he does. He never really fit a mold like that. I think being fat and wanting to style, like Big Pun was such a big influence, and like the syllables, and like being from Nottingham and how we can fit the words in, that just made sense to me. So Pun really had that big influence, man. It's very difficult to pick one, like, of anything. It's like when people say, what would your last meal be? And like one day it might be mac and cheese or fried chicken, and the next minute it's unagi bento box with the fucking, you know. So it's
Pac-Man Scoop 85 also asks, what do you regard as your best project, your best body of work?
It's hard to say best, but I say if people want to know who I am and they've never heard of me before, listen to BEM, you know, 2020 BEM. Yeah, it's an intro and outro, and there's 10 tracks I'm rapping on, and I've got people on there that I love, and that, I think that at the moment encapsulates who I am the best, you know?
Incredible album, man.
Thank you, man.
just released that on Wax as well, haven't you? You got the kind
yeah, that was Dope put that out, man. So shout out to the purists. Yeah, Bem came out on Dope, man. So that was my Dope release, which is, you know, something that's important when you're in this game, in this niche game we're in. If you've been on Dope, you know what the deal is, man. So shout out to the purists.
Yeah, sick label. And yeah, you know, being away with Liam Bailey being like the kind of most played track, I think, on that project.
Yeah, that's been popping off, man. Someone sent me a video that was played in like Adidas shop or something, and like it's been on playlists for like restaurants and shit. I can see that on my Spotify, so I'm like, sick, man, get them spins up in Burger King or whatever.
After it, when I'm out and about, I live in like a backwater now in Devon, so I'm gonna see how far it stretches, you know what I mean?
Sick, man. Yeah, man, that I love that song, man. And like that video, the video hasn't got many views on YouTube, but it's one of the best videos that's come out for a long time by Michael Hollick did it, who's done unbelievable, but he's done like big shit with the biggest artists in the world, and he did it with me because he's from the city, and like that video is unbelievable as a postcard to Nottingham, man. Is and there's some people in there that are my family and I truly love, man. So like that video there is unbelievable, and if you haven't seen it, the video for Being Away, just put Juggernaut Being Away Liam Bailey on in YouTube and watch it, man, because it's crazy, man. It's unbelievable.
Is Liam Bailey not spaced as well?
He's from Nottingham, but he's in London, man. You might hear him singing Flying Around in Brixton or something.
He did
like
a tiny desk as well, didn't he?
Yeah, man. Liam was gonna just before Amy Winehouse passed away, he was with Amy Winehouse. I think he was gonna be on her label, man. And Liam's unbelievably talented. I got a couple more joints with him, and one on my next album that I've been working on for years. We've got a crazy one on there, man. So.
So people tuning in, this is the kind of levels we're talking about.
Yeah, Liam's unbelievable. He's like Glastonbury stage with Chasing Status, fucking doing backflips. And, you know, if you don't know that tune, that's one of the big, is a massive tune, man. So, yeah, man, Liam's the guy, man. And he just went off the top with that shit. He just goes in the booth and goes off.
Nice one, man. So last question we got. Inside DeVille asks, if you could only eat one cuisine forever, what would it be?
Yeah, shout out to Ariane. What was the question again? It broke up.
If you could only eat one cuisine forever, what would
cuisine?
It be?
That's very difficult.
Yeah.
today I feel like it would have to be, if we're talking about cuisine as in a genre, as in a place or whatever you want to say, I'd say today it's Chinese food, man, like real down home Chinese food. I'd eat roast duck and rice and chili oil to the day I die, if I had to, man, if that was the only one.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
What did you have for dinner today?
Yo, I had today, like, I usually eat quite late, so, but I knew I was doing this and I had a couple more things to do, so I ate a little early, but I had some leftover roast chicken I did yesterday with some Turkish bread, some nice tomatoes and cucumber on the side with a little bit of vinegar, salt. I had some... Yo, there's an Encona sauce. I got some all the hot sauces, but they do a good one with papaya Encona sauce, which is good. And then I got some Chick-fil-A sauce from the States, man. Like Chick-fil-A's fucking fuck them as a company, but the sauce is fire. Like, yeah, they're a bit fucking the other way of things, man.
Is that Nazi's place?
No. That's Sweet Chick. Sweet Chick's fire as well. But Chick-fil-A is like a big fast food company, but they're a bit not the one if you look into them. So, but the sauce was fire anyway. But yeah, leftover. If I can have roast chicken and bread, some kind of. But this Turkish bread from Ozan down the road from me is unbelievable, man. It's my favorite bread, man.
Salivating over here, man. So before we close it off, man, before we wrap things up tonight. So what's next? What's next for Judge? What's next release wise? Obviously, we've had. The Situationist, Stolen Art Part 3, incredible body of work, self-produced, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, completely self-produced, and yeah, I don't know how I think I put some other stuff out before that was completely, but this one, you know, I did nearly within a month. Some of the beats are old, but I recorded it all within a month this year. I went to the States at Christmas and came back with some fire in my belly and some sunshine on my skin, a little bit anyway, and just felt right, so I did that. And that's amazing. It's some of my, like, there's a lot of party music on there, but it's actually some of my most introspective and personal shit as well, where I'm starting to just think, fuck it, I don't care like what anyone thinks, just go with it. So, you know, that's great. I've got, like I said earlier, I've got you know, and everyone says I have got so much work, but it's just what it's what's right, you know, what's coming, you know, and it's like I've got all these different things I could put out, but I think mainly what I'm putting out next is my album Time and Place, which I've been working on for like 10 years, and it's a like a homage, I don't know, it's just you'll hear it, and some of the songs are 10 years old and some of them are brand new, and some of them take place in a certain place and some of them are in their own world, and you know, and I've got only Nottingham features on there at the moment, so Liam Bailey, Harley Blue, Scorsese, Capo, my brother Vandal Savage, you know, the people that have been, you know, there the whole time, man. So that's what's probably next. And my friend, my good, you know, one of my best friends, Emily Catherine, is doing the cover for that. She's painting the cover. So we talked about
it's very talented.
Not unbelievable, man. And she's one of the realest people I've ever met.
Yeah, like,
so she's painting the cover. So this is one time when I'm letting someone do it, but you know what she's gonna do with it. So that's what's hopefully coming next. I've got a bunch of other stuff, it depends, you know, someone might pop up out the woodwork and say let's put this out that we've done. I've got, you know, 10 projects and I'm waiting on people or whatever, you know, it's like that's how it goes, man.
Would you ever consider doing like a production album and sticking everyone else on, like putting, like, you know, having a lineup in your head and then just producing the whole thing?
I would love that, man, but I wouldn't want to approach people without being able to give them anything, you know, like just coming like, oh, I'm sick, my beats are sick, rap on my beats is, that's not good enough for me. It's like,
question. Because if you can put on friends, then that'd be a bit different. But
if it was my friends, they would be up for it. But I don't want to do it without having something that they're going to get out of it. And I'm not even just saying, like, obviously there's business, but at the same time it's like, what's going to be the, why are we doing this, do you know what I mean? It's like I want to make it work for everyone, because you know, that's the thing. So I'd love to do that, man, but then again, you know, half of my beats I'm like, oh, this one's for Naz, this one's for that's just, you delude yourself with that shit. It's like this one's for, you know, whoever, who's the biggest rapper, because that's the idea you want. But if I had time and I could do it, I'd love to do something. But I'd probably make, like, I don't know, 8 songs, and they're all very different and very strong in different ways, man. So I think that's what I'd like to do, and make it worthwhile for people, you know, in a way that's going to work for everyone. Do you know what I mean? Because there's, anyway, I don't know. I'm floating off into the stratosphere with whatever I'm saying. I don't even fucking...
I was gonna ask you, man, just reminded me, you bumped into Freddie Gibbs recently, didn't you?
That was crazy. That was crazy, man. Like, but this always happens. Like, I was with Vandal Savage, I was with my brother as well. But my life has been like this, man. Like, my dad as well. Like, I remember one time we were in Italy and we walked around the corner and someone jumped out the woodwork and was like, oh, stick, man, like this is my dad. So this is how we do it. But I said to Vandal, because we're supposed to go to a show and it didn't happen and blah, blah, blah. We're down there. And then I said to him, I was walking through Soho and I was like, yo, I bet we bump into Freddie Gibbs. 10 minutes later, walk around the corner, there's Freddie Gibbs. I was like, why does this always happen, man? Yo, I remember I was on fucking Brick Lane. I bumped into Alchemist and Brunson, Mayhem, like out of the blue. Like, that was 2015, man. I was like, what? Like, what the fuck, man?
Lee, I know those guys.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. They're, you know, legends, man. But yeah, it was funny. It just happens. There's a weird thing, the serendipity of life. Sometimes you say things and they happen, and you kind of like, how did I get into this situation, man? What I was gonna say quickly, I don't know if you've got time. I don't know if anyone else asked any questions that we've missed out, man. Because I've not been checking the comments and shit, man. So I don't know if there's a way to scroll back. If there's not, my bad, you know. But
I see, Rob, man, you're the man with the cockpit.
I'm alert. You keep talking, don't worry about me. Let me look.
man. So, I need to start putting that out in the ether a bit more, man, saying I'll bump into people like, oh, I hope I bump into someone that gives me £20,000 for no reason.
There's a question here. It's from Dizzy P. It says, what inspired you to use the music samples or beats you use to rap over?
It's a good question, man. It's just the feeling of whatever I come across. If I'm making it myself, it's just It's just the moment and whatever feels right, man. And sometimes I'll be listening to some fucking, I don't know, some house shit, and I'll sample a chord stab and make some shit that came from that. Or I'll be listening to like the 80s shit and I'll go with that. Or it's just whatever feels right in the moment. But I've got a little thing, if it doesn't catch me in like 20, 30 seconds, then it's not right. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I'll sit with it, but if it, yeah.
Salam Remy, man. His Instagram page is probably the most like inspirational.
Oh, unbelievable. I'm so glad he's done that, man. Yeah, unbelievable. All the classic shit. All the classic shit, man.
Ridiculous. Any more, Rob?
I'm looking. There's another one that says, who put Knots on the map, UK-wise? Where was that? I missed it. Yeah, who do you feel put Knots on the map, UK rap?
Oh, man, that goes all the way back, you know. There's the Rock City crew that were the breakdancers in the 80s, you know, and then if you're talking hip hop wise, and then, you know, Joe Buddha, Mr. 45, mm-hmm. Brothers, Out the Ville, you know, all the legendary music. There's so many people, and like my bad if I miss anyone out, but that's who comes to mind. But there's many, Knots has been put on the map from early, man. Like there's so much different music, and now, you know, like there's people I mentioned here that are just doing it now, man, that are killing it. Killing it.
What was this? There was something about the crowd things as well. It said, how was it when you supported Sleaford Mods? And what was your thoughts on the crowd?
Yo, that was sick. Because, like, shout out to Sleaford Mods. It was Sleaford Mods, you know, asked for Capo to support them. And then Capo, because we were doing Triple V at that time, the album brought us on the road too. So respect to Capo for that, because we got spoiled, man. We did a 13-day tour. We did, like, the Roundhouse in London, and we got used to that, having a rider and shit. Like, now you're lucky if you get a fold-out chair to sit on. You know what I mean? Like, so we was backstage. But that, the best comments, and we got it, I don't know, I can't even count on my hands how many times you got it after a show, was guys in their 60s who were kind of into punk and were kind of there to see Sleaford Mods because they love that type of stuff, were like, I've never been into hip-hop, but now I'm going to go and listen to some hip-hop because that was amazing. And like, that's that, you can't think better than that. Do you know what I mean?
And I reckon there's a little bit of a crossover though, because I've just had like a little bit of a punk awakening. I listened to hip hop my whole life. Like, it doesn't
getting into it now,
just been hip hop, and like the last like 2 weeks, I've just been killing.
We've been talking about that, haven't we? Like, yeah. Dead Kennedy.
Oh man,
Dead Kennedy's, Misfits, fucking Minor Threat. Flag. I'm like, these are all completely new to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yo, Henry Rollins, man. Like, yo, he unbelievable shit, man. And then, you know, you got Bad Brains, you know, one of the only black bands that really blew up, man. You know, everyone's on that positive mental thinking.
I'll tell you one thing about Bad Brains. What I noticed is the delivery. His delivery is, because you obviously know punk is like mad fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
When he wants to say, his delivery is like, it's spot on.
Flavor, he's got flavor, man. He's got flavor. Yeah, and he's doing fucking backflips on stage, like wild sayings. Like, people now, I don't want to see all that cool shit on stage, man. That shit's boring. I don't want to fucking snooze. I want to see some shit. Like, give me your soul, because that's what it's about, man. And that you can't get more soul than that. Someone's doing a backflip and taking a shit. You know what I mean? It's
I like
taking the shit to the next level, man. But yeah, that's like American punk and hardcore, and then like the British punk, man. You know, everyone always argues what came first and who influenced who. But, you know, punk's there for a reason, man. And we're in a time and space now where we need that again, because the world is fucked, man, and people don't want to revolt. They just want to cruise by, man. Cruise by.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, who fucking knows anything, man? I don't know. But
any more questions, Rob?
I don't think so. Kashmir just said Radford, whatever that means.
Radford, you get me. That's the reason people say you get me. Mr. 45, Joe Buddha, 1993. Radford, you get me. If you're from Knots or you've ever been to Knots, you know what Radford is, and that's where the phrase comes from. So everyone in America watching Shotters now, just know that this shit's from Nottingham, man. Radford, you get me. Radford, that's Nottingham, St. Anne's, Radford, Meadows, Basford. We're the real deal through and through, man. Heavy Knots. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Any more?
No, that's it. That's it. I was just doing the news report. That's it.
All right, man. So before we wrap up, man, is there anything you want to say, anything you want to kind of promote? Where can people find your music?
What do I want to say? I said a lot already, man. This is a problem. You get the spotlight and then you start going off. No, I just want to say thank you to everyone that fucking supports what I do and has time for me, man. And it's truly appreciated. And I know people say all this stuff all the time, but if you make art and you've got an audience, that's amazing. Because, you know, it's all subjective and what comes from you. So everyone that's got my back, I appreciate it. And anyone new, thank you for listening. And, you know, hopefully it's onwards and upwards, man. At the moment, I feel like I'm punching a glass ceiling every single day, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here, man. I might just end up cleaning it. You know what I mean? Just cleaning it and watching everyone tap dancing on top of me. So who knows, man? Respect to everyone that's got my back. And yeah, you can get my music all over the place. Juggernaut, JUGA-NAUT, Bandcamp, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all out there. I do everything. Who knows? But it's there, man. And I appreciate you giving me the platform. It's great to talk, man, on this. What's the date today? The 23rd of June on this heat, on this very hot. Finally, man. Summer's evening. Finally. Finally.
Apparently, it's my parents' wedding anniversary today.
Wow.
They were messaging when I'm doing this. They're like,
shit, you should have had the sauce on the stove, man. You should have been catching a pepe. Catch your pepe on this. They're balls, man.
On that delicious note, man, we'll call it a day, but Judge, man, being a pleasure as always to chat to you, man. We'll do this again for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, man. Good to talk to you guys, and thanks for having me on, man. And yeah, maybe I'll get cancelled after this. Who knows? Respect, man. Peace.
Right, cool.
In a bit. Yeah.